The house of the Lord tonight. Appreciate the presence of each one of you. If you'd like to turn to 1 Timothy tonight. 1 Timothy. While you're turning to that, I'll ask you a question. Maybe you can think and turn pages at the same time. How important is faith? How important is faith? I think it's mighty important because God gave it to us in the new birth. But he also expects us to walk by faith. He expects us to use what he's put within us. But fact is, if we have it, it's because he gave it to us. And it's something that Paul would write to the church at Thessalonica, and he talked about he desired that they might he might perfect their faith. In other words, there's some growing, there's some maturity. When you speak about the faith, oftentimes the scriptures mention the faith, and we're talking about the body of truth. God's word, the whole of his word that's been revealed to us as God breathed into those holy prophets to write his word. He moved, the holy men of God were moved as he spoke his word to them. And to a great extent today, this is how God speaks to us. This is the lips of God today in so many ways. As he speaks to us, he's already revealed his word to us here. There's many things that we might have questions about that are answered in his word that we don't have to wonder if he could give us some divine revelation. He's already done that in giving us his word. Faith. Now, what I want to study tonight is I want to go, there's probably more than this, so it's probably not a complete list, but it's what I felt like we could talk about tonight. Seven warnings that Paul gave us in 1 Timothy about our faith, about being faithful. Now, in 1 Timothy, Paul is inspired here to write to a young preacher. And that's such an important lesson to any preacher. To be faithful. To be faithful to God. Be faithful to the Word of God. To be faithful to one another. To understand the Word and to grow in it. That's so important. And so I want to notice, and we're going to work our way through. We're not going to try to cover the entirety of 1 Timothy tonight, but there are passages that I want to notice in these seven warnings against erring from the truth. We need to stand firm or erring from the faith, since we're talking about faith. All right, 1 Timothy, and I'll begin in chapter 1, obviously. I'm going to begin in verse 3. Paul's writing to Timothy, and he says, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned." I don't use that word in conversation, unfeigned, do you? But I might if I was talking about having a biblical conversation, but that word unfeigned means insincere. So our faith needs to be sincere, okay? So he says, and of faith unfeigned, unpretended, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling. There's some words here we need to understand tonight, isn't there? Paul says that there's some have swerved, have turned aside unto vain jank. Well, vain means empty, unprofitable. And this jangling, the definition I found of that is babbling. Somebody just babbling on, they're not really speaking a lot of wisdom, are they? Maybe no wisdom at all. Maybe it's things that we don't even know anything about. But he says, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, unpretended faith, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. In other words, they've turned aside from the course that they should be on. Well, if we turn away from the Word of God and are seeking something else, it's not going to be profitable to our lives. Oh, there could be courses that people could take, and it could be profitable to their bank account, but we're talking about faithfully serving God, faithfully adhering to the truth, faithfully pursuing a course of walking in the way of righteousness in this world, loving one another, doing what we should in a way that would be pleasing to the Lord, would be a blessing in the kingdom of God, would cause us to love one another and to be strengthened and encouraged by one another. Those are the ways that we want to walk in this life. We don't want to turn aside from the faith. We don't want to turn aside from the truth. There's lots of things that people can learn in this world. There's lots of pursuits in this world. But nothing is as beneficial to us. Nothing is as profitable to us as following after godliness. Paul would tell Timothy later on about bodily exercise profiteth little. And what that means is it's profitable, but it profits for a little while. You know, if you don't keep it up, you lose the benefit from it, right? So bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Yeah. Having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So keeping the faith, walking in paths of righteousness, not turning aside to vain jangling, empty, unprofitable things of this world. That's what we want, isn't it? We want to keep the faith. We want to be faithful to God. Aren't you glad that God's been faithful to us? That doesn't mean we don't have struggles and trials in life, but it certainly does mean that if we're one of His children, we will be with Him in glory. We can call upon Him for the things that we stand in need of. We can draw nigh to Him. And the promise is, if we draw nigh to God, James tells us, He will draw nigh to us because He's faithful. God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us that there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will, with the temptation, make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. God makes us a promise there. He's faithful in keeping His promises. You can always count on God keeping His promise. You know, I've made some promises to folks with the best of intentions. And some little circumstance would come up and change my plans altogether. And sometimes I've had to break my promises. Sometimes I haven't been able to be faithful to what I wanted to do because of some little circumstance in life that came up. You don't have to worry about that with God. He knows all things. And He's able to supply. And He's able to perform what He's promised. So let's not turn aside to the vain things of this world. If we do that, we miss the mark. And you know what? What missing the mark? There's one word that represents that phrase, missing the mark. And that word is sin. The literal definition of sin is missing the mark. We don't want to turn aside to vain jangling. We want to be faithful to God and press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So, someone that's turned aside to vain jangling, that's just empty babbling, whatever they're listening to, instead of seeking Christ. That's what we want in this life. Now, this whole subject of faith, you know, Jesus told us in Matthew 24 that because iniquity doth abound, and Matthew 24, those people were facing a time when their world, as they knew it, was coming to an end. Jerusalem was going to be destroyed in 70 AD. I happen to be one of those folks that believes that some of those things that Jesus was talking about that was coming upon his people had their a historical fulfillment, but he also spoke in terms that applied to the future. And I think we can certainly see in our culture today that because iniquity doth abound, the love of many has waxed cold. When you start turning aside from the faith, when you start looking and listening to other things besides the Word of God, our hearts cool off with our fervor toward the Lord. Oh, how dangerous that is. So we need to remember. And so what's the remedy for turning aside unto vain jangling? Well, it's studying the Word of God and asking Him for wisdom to guide us in this life. If we're staying at the feet of Jesus, if we're coming to that throne of grace and praying the Lord would help us and lead us and guide us, He's not going to lead us aside. He's going to help us and lead us in the good and right way. I often think about, in the Old Testament, Moses' father-in-law. You know, Moses encouraged him, come go with us, we'll do you good. I like that expression, don't you?
Yeah.
Would that we could encourage so many in the world today. Come go with us. Now, like Paul says, follow us as we follow Christ. We want to be found in the right way. We want to be found in that good and right way. But what a blessing it is to be among God's people who are seeking that good and right way and having fellowship with them and enjoying life as we serve the Lord. Let's not turn aside unto vain jangling, as Paul said. All right. Now let's move down a little bit in the chapter to I'll begin in verse 18. Paul has given Timothy a charge. To be faithful. Speak some about his own experience, how the Lord was merciful to him. It says in verse 18, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies that went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Now, we're talking about walking by faith, but he brings in this language of a warfare. Well, it is a warfare, isn't it? Satan and the things of this world, that care nothing for the things of God. Oh, how those things war against us and try to pull us aside unto vain jangling. All right? So he says, If we follow these things and keep these things, we would war a good warfare. Holding faith, not turning loose of it now, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Paul says we need to be holding faith. Yeah. Elsewhere he would say to lay hold on eternal life.
Right.
Okay? Oh, yeah. Holding faith. He says some have put it away, meaning they thrust it away. And if you think about it, and if you compare that thought to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 when he's talking about the armor of God, you know, we just mentioned the fact that there was a warfare here. When Paul describes the armor of God, when he gets to faith, he calls it a shield, whereby we may quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Don't you want something to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked? Faith, he says, is like a shield. When we hold it up, when we're holding it, not when we turn loose of it, not when we cast it aside, but holding on to the faith, being faithful, trusting God for the things we stand in need of. So when we think about what he's saying here, he says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Well, shipwreck is usually for some, a ship that's off course. You know, and to make shipwreck of your faith is when you reject the things of God. I've said from time to time, there's two places in Scripture where the expression good for nothing is used. Good for nothing. And both of those times, one's over in Jeremiah. I need to memorize the address there, but one's over in Jeremiah, where Jeremiah was told to take a girdle and bury it, you know, a belt. They called up their belt a girdle in the Old Testament. He buried it, and then he went back later, and it was marred. It was good for nothing. And he talked about how Israel, that was like Israel, because they had rejected God. So they were good for nothing. The other time in the New Testament, when Jesus is speaking about the salt, that we're to be salt, but he says if the salt has lost its savor, in other words, its ability to preserve, its ability to season, its ability to kill germs, you know, if the salt has lost its savor, and we do that, if we're supposed to be the salt of the earth, but if we've lost our ability to season, if we've lost our ability to influence others for good, if we've done that, then he says, if the salt has lost its savor, it is thenceforth good for nothing. Nothing. It's good for nothing. You know, in that lesson, it's helpful to me when Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. All right, now how did he start that? He said, ye. All right, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt, who's that? Ye, you. But if you have lost your savor, let's just keep going with that. Then you are good for nothing. As far as kingdom influence as far as building your life in a way that would be pleasing to the Lord and be a help and an encouragement and a strengthening to others. We have to hold on to faith. We have to not turn aside. We have to not make shipwreck of our faith. You know, think about that. He's talking about they've made shipwreck of their faith. In other words, what should be something that holds on to God and is an encouragement to others and a strengthening and one that can be a help to others in the good and the right things of life. Instead of being that way, they've made shipwreck of their faith. Like a ship that's run aground on some rocks or something and is breaking apart and it's going down in the water. Or like the Titanic that hit that big iceberg. You know, they didn't see much above the ground, but anybody that knows anything about icebergs, you know, most of it's under the water, right? And so that ship that their makers said it was unsinkable went down very quickly. I would make a comparison there. Paul said, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We need the Lord's help in everything we do. We need to be seeking his face and his loving kindness and his wisdom so that we can do the things that we should in life. If we try to go our own way, if we turn aside into the vain things of this world, we're going to make shipwreck of our faith. Paul I've heard it said that Paul must have known a lot about faith. Well, yes, he did, but he's writing by inspiration of the Spirit, which is perfect. So it wasn't the wisdom of Paul that we're reading here. It was the inspiration of the Spirit that moved him to write these eternal truths for us. He's encouraging Timothy to stay on the path, not put away your faith, not make shipwreck of your faith. You know, a ship needs someone to steer it in the right way, needs a compass. You know, faith gives us a moral compass, doesn't it? The Spirit working within us. When we do something that's not quite right, that Spirit is grieved and we feel an effect from it. But if we ignore that, then eventually we get to the place where we don't feel it as much. We don't want to go that way. We want to stay close to the Lord. I'm thankful for that moral compass that we have with it. I'm thankful for that faith that he's given us. I'm thankful that God is faithful to me and that when we're trying to do what's right and something comes along that's not right, we're able to feel the difference. Hopefully we can see the difference. Hopefully we know the difference because we've studied the Word of God and we know what the good and right way is. And when we're presented with what's not right, we know the difference. But faith within us will convict us when we've chosen something that's not quite right or chosen to go in a direction that's not quite right. We need to listen to that and not make shipwreck of our faith, of our life. What a blessing that God is faithful to us. So the remedy for all of that is to hold on. Hold on to our faith and follow that good and right way that the Lord gives us in his word. Let's go over to chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy chapter 4. Paul has something else to say about faith here. Now, what we're looking for is warnings against erring from the faith. Okay? Paul says in chapter 4, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." Well, there's our warning right there, isn't it? Some are going to depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And I'll throw anything that's ungodly in that pot. Giving heed to seducing spirits. You know, the devil likes to come along and say, you know, well, he told Eve, "You shall not die." Well, God said you would. So if she just said, "Go away, you're telling me something that's not right," she didn't say that, did she? She began to listen to that seducing spirit, and she was beguiled, which that word beguiled means that she was deceived with consequences. Look what happened. When she left the word of God and the faith of the faith, you know, when God told them exactly words of exact truth, and she knew that because she rehearsed that to the devil, to that old serpent. But the serpent said, "You shall not die." And he went on to tell her things that caused her to think that God was holding out on them, that there was something better for them, something that would make them wise, their eyes would be open, that they would be as gods. Oh. See how the flesh gets puffed up? Wants to be like God? Want to be as God? There's so many people in this world that are living their lives according to what they want to do. That's what's most important to them instead of the Word of God. They want to be their own God. So some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, and having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving unto them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Paul said that the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. And we see it all around us, don't we? See it all around us. As Jesus said, "Because iniquity doth abound, the love of many shall wax cold." We certainly see that we certainly see many turning away from the things of God. In our culture, sad to say, today, we've got so many that have come in that have no interest in serving God. They just want to do what they want to do, totally have rejected the Word of God, and they're gaining a great influence in our culture today. And it's all the more important for each of us who know and love the truth to stand upon this truth, to hold fast to it, to not turn aside from it, to not make shipwreck of our lives by departing from the faith. Oh, how needful it is. This is just one of those fundamental messages that we just need to hear every now and then to remind us to stay close to the Word of God and walking according to faith. Let not the distractions of this world get our attention. And I tell you, the last several months that we've been going through, there's been one distraction after another. There's just so many things that's just been pounded on us from the media, and I hope we don't spend a whole lot of time listening to that. You know, I'd be a basket case if I listened to that all day long. My hope is in the Lord. He's on his throne. He's able to take care of this situation. And even if he is pleased to allow these things to come upon us to a greater extent, he's still able to keep us in our lives each day. But the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days many shall depart from the faith. Now, when we see it happening in our country, you know, there's so many people talking about it's the end of time. It's the end of time. You know, Jesus is going to come back any day. Well, why should we think that just because the United States of America is in that much trouble, that it's going to be the end of time? You know, the church is flourishing in other nations right now. You know, the church hasn't always been here. About 200, maybe 250, well, 200 years maybe. The church has stayed in one general locality and then moved to other places. Even nations, after about 250 years, go through some changes. I saw some history today about that. So why should we think that just because this nation is going down in such a way that it is, that it's the end of the world? Well, maybe we think this is our world. And, you know, if you want to limit it to that, then yeah, it is the end of our world. You know, I'm not saying it's over yet, but there's just so many things that don't make sense. Why are they having so much influence? Why are they having so much success in the United States of America? We're living in a time where many have departed from the faith. And many that are creating the problems for us now never were a part of the faith. And so we understand that. But what bothers us is those who have known and loved the truth who have departed from the faith. That's sad. Brethren, let's hold fast to the truth of God's word. We need to know the truth. We need to follow the truth. We need to try the spirits. See if there are those seducing spirits or whether it's the truth of God's word. And what you need is a good understanding of the word of God. And some may say, well, preacher, I just don't understand the Bible when I read it. Well, you know, there's a funny thing about that. If you keep reading, and if you ask the Lord to give you understanding, you'll start to begin to see. Because if you've got that desire to know it, it's because he's working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And he will help you. So keep reading. Keep reading. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul would tell Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, if you were listening, you heard me say the first word in that verse was study, and the last word in that verse is truth. So there's a lot of truth there, but if all you get out of that is study truth, you're on the right track. All right? Studying the Bible will help us stay in that good and right way. All right? There's so much more we could say about that, but let's go over to chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. He's kind of specific in this particular passage that we're going to read, but it has a general principle that applies to many things. 1 Timothy chapter 5, I'll begin in verse 7. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. Okay? Now, So he's talking about there the responsibility that one has to his family. God has set up the family. God has prescribed how the family should operate. A lot of people in our life today have ignored God's setup of the family, doing other things. But what he says here is, if someone does not provide for his own, that is his own household, says he's denied the faith. In other words, he's denied that principle where God teaches us that a man should provide for his family. Okay? And if he doesn't, then he's denied the faith. Well, any principle that we can find in the Word of God where God teaches us this is the way it ought to be, and if someone chooses not to do it that way, then in that respect, they have denied the faith. So the principle he's presenting to us here is very specific, but it has a broad application. If the Word of God says this is the way it ought to be, then bless your hearts, that's the way it ought to be. And if we want to have joy and peace and fellowship with God while we walk through this life, then we want to do the way God tells us we need to do. It's the best way to be found in this world. Yeah. Otherwise, we've denied the faith. And again, he's talking about a specific thing here, but the overall principle applies. If God tells us this is the way it ought to be, then that's the way it ought to be. So that we can be living according to the faith. And so again, we can come back to the Word of God, can't we? Because that's what Paul told Timothy to do, study truth. Studying the Word of God teaches us the faith, the truth. And when we know the truth, and bless your hearts, we know what we need to do in this life. You know, I like the illustration about, you know, you've heard about counterfeit money. You know, sometimes people spend a lot of time engraving those plates so they can print their own money. And they're real good at it. They can make it look real. So somebody that works for the government that deals with finding counterfeit money and arresting those people, they don't study all the copies. They don't study all the wrong money. They study the original. So when they know what the original should look like, they can spot the counterfeit. Well, that's the way it is with the Word of God. If we know what the Word of God says, if we know what the Word of God tells us how we should live, then when something comes along that's not according to that, then we can spot it. We know that's not right. That's how we keep the faith. That's how we stay in the good and right way. We need that. We need to encourage one another in that. It needs to be preached. It needs to be followed. Okay? All right. A little later in chapter 5. Paul's giving a lesson about widows. And he warns the church about younger widows that perhaps at some point in their life they needed the help and the assistance of the church, but maybe later on their circumstances are such that they go a different direction. Okay, I'm probably not doing a good job of describing that. But anyway, Paul says, beginning in verse 11, chapter 5, verse 11, but the younger widows refused, that is, when he's talking about refusing, the church took care of the widows. because they didn't have a provider for their family. They didn't have someone to provide for them, and so they came under the care and the supply of the church. Our government has provided or may come up with so many welfare programs now that they've kind of, in the minds of so many, they've kind of taken on that role, haven't they? People expect it from the government when it was something that the church could provide before. So anyway, he's telling them that the younger widows, he says, refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. The idea of casting off their first faith. If you stay with this example here, you could see how, say, the younger widows who were being supported by the church, and they decided to marry someone, and you know, where they chose not to adhere to what they committed to the first time. All right? You can see how that changes. I'm just going to look at a general principle where someone has made that commitment to follow in this good and right way, and then later they change their mind. They turn aside. We see that in life, don't we? It's so needful for us to make that commitment to be faithful to the Lord, to study His Word, to have our hearts settled in the truth, so that the things of this world are not such an attraction for us. There's plenty of glitter in this world. Satan is so quick to point out things that he calls fun and exciting to draw you away. But if you've got wisdom to look beyond the glitter, to look beyond what might be appealing to the flesh, you know, James teaches that lesson about every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And years ago, I remember Elder Sarah Bradley, it probably wasn't original with him, but he was the first one that I heard use the illustration. That word enticed is like a baited hook. It's something that looks good, but there's trouble underneath. You know, I'm sure fish are not smart enough to say, well, I better not take that bait because there's a hook under there that's going to cause me to die. But just think about that idea. If Satan's enticements are like a baited hook, then if you take the bait, you're going to get hooked. And enticements of this world are just that way. And we need to shun the very appearance of evil. We need to pass by it. Don't have anything to do with it. We need to know what the truth is. We need to know what the good and right way is. We need to follow in ways of righteousness and stay away from those things that could cause us to get hooked on something that's going to lead us in the wrong direction. Oh, how we need this truth. This truth will never fail you. This truth will lead us in the way. If we take heed to it, and ask the Lord to give us understanding and wisdom to understand it, to know it, and to be able to apply it to our lives. It's the best way we could go. And not get hooked. Not get shipwrecked concerning our faith. But follow the Lord in a way that's pleasing unto Him. Did I read verse 12? 1 Timothy 5, when he says, having damnation because they have cast off, yeah, I did, they've cast off their first faith. Cast off their first faith. That word cast off there has the idea of not esteeming it like we should. Of not seeing the value of it. You know, if you lose confidence in something or if you don't see the value in it, you're likely to cast it aside. Well, if Satan can gain an advantage, if he can lure us aside, if he can convince us by a seducing spirit that some other course of action is better than this word tells us that we should adhere to, then all of a sudden we put more value in something else than the Word of God. Bless your hearts. This word, there is nothing better for us to know and to follow than this word. It will never lead you astray. It will never cause you to be shipwrecked in your life. Oh, I understand that there's times when you, if you've been running with a certain crowd and you start making choices according to the Word of God instead of the things that you once did, you may have friends that would turn away from you. And it may seem like your life is falling apart. Bless your hearts. If we're trying to follow the Lord, then we want to associate ourselves with other folks that are following the Lord. And then we can both enjoy the blessings of following the Lord and fellowship one with another and honoring our God. So, let's not cast off our faith. Chapter 6. I need to hasten on here. Chapter 6, Paul has a lot to say in this chapter about the riches of this world, being faithful to God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, let's begin. Paul is telling us, or telling Timothy, not to be like some that would be proud and doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings. He says they're perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. You know, that's a pretty common thought, isn't it? That gain is godliness. I don't know how many people I've seen in the business world that thinks that just because they're doing great business, Lord's blessing. They just kind of seem to want to use that as a rule. Supposing that gain is godliness. Well, if it's done in the right way, it can be. All right, he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. What does that tell you? That riches in this world are only for this world. Okay? Whatever benefit we can receive from it, it only applies to here. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich, a lot of people today need to hear this, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. In other words, their life can come to ruin. Oh, they put all of their energy and activity and affection upon their earthly pursuits, but their life was terrible. It goes on in verse 10 to say, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, I didn't say money is the root of all evil. Money can be used. I know some very wealthy people that know how to use their money for a lot of good things. They're a blessing to a lot of folks. But the love of money is the root of all evil. Why is that? Because if your love is money, then you're going to do whatever you have to do to get more of it, to make it. If you love God and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his promises and all these things will be added to you. He's not saying you're going to be rich, but he's saying he's going to add the things that you need. So the love of money causes people to do a lot of things that are not right. While some coveted after, that is, they had an inordinate affection toward accumulating wealth, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Going after what they love so much, money, caused them to end up with many hurtful sorrows. And Paul says they've erred from the faith. But he goes on in verse 11 to say, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight. Oh, preacher, Christians ought not to fight. Well, this is a good fight. This is a fight of good versus evil. This is a resisting of the evil in our life that would cause pain and heartaches and sorrows, and choosing to do good. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So those that love money, Paul says that's the root. That's where you're going to start finding evil springing up. All kinds of evils. All kinds of things that'll cause sorrows and hurtful situations. The love of money. So what's the remedy for that? Trust God. Trust God for what we need. He continues in this chapter. Verse 17, which is our last of these seven warnings. Verse 17, 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world. Okay? Just because a person has some wealth doesn't mean they're evil. But they need to be careful. They need to use it in the right way. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. The translator said that could also have said the uncertainty of riches. And that's certainly true, isn't it? The uncertainty of riches. You know, the stock market, I'll just give you the stock market. A few months ago, it was just flying high. And a few things happened in this world, and it all of a sudden started tumbling. And I tell you, people have nervous breakdowns when they're watching that, and where that, if that's where their heart is and their riches, and they see their fortunes dwindling, it can make them sick. People in severe situations like that, people have actually taken their own lives when they saw all their riches going away. Wow, we could have a situation in our country where our currency could be changed. And then what would happen to our dollars? You know what happened to the Confederacy, didn't it? Overnight, or after that happened, their money wasn't worth anything. It wasn't worth the paper it was printed on. We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen in the next few years in this country. I hope we'll get back to the way things were. But I don't have any control over that. Do you? Who does? God does. There's your certainty. God is our safety, our strength, our stability, our certainty, our hope, our salvation, our preservation. He's our everything. He's the one who's able to take care of us. And he's told us in his word how we should follow him and enjoy fellowship with him as he takes care of us in this life. So he says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches. But here's what they should trust in. If we're going to keep the faith, if we're not going to swerve from the faith, if we're not going to cast it off, if we're going to keep the faith, here's what we need to trust in. But trust, I'm supplying that word, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. God is so good in providing and taking care. He goes on to tell us something about how we can trust in the God that giveth us richly all things to enjoy. He tells us what we should do, what the good way is. What is the faith in this? That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Now, what that means is what we have in this life, we recognize that God is the one who gave it to us. And we ought to be willing to help others. We ought to have a sharing and a caring spirit about us. God gave it to us the first time. He can give us more. Now, that doesn't mean you go giving away everything you got. But as we're following the Lord, and as we encounter someone some situation that we feel like that we can do something, if the Lord's put it on our heart to try to help them, then we can help. Ready to distribute, willing to communicate, willing to give, willing to help others. Aren't you glad God helped you? Aren't you glad that God reached down to where you were and lifted you up? Aren't you glad that God sent his Son to this world to suffer and die to save us from an eternal hell? He did that because he loves us. And we're safe at the blood of Jesus, and nothing can ever separate us from his love, which is in Christ Jesus. So let's follow him now. Let's serve him now. Let's be rich in good works. And he goes on to say, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation. In other words, when we follow these things and do what's right and walk by faith and adhere to the faith, which is this word of God, we're laying up for ourselves a good foundation. In the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus preached that, he ended it up by saying, those that hear these sayings of mine and doeth them, he says, I'll liken them unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. In other words, he had a good foundation to build his house upon. Well, our life is like building a house. If we build on a good foundation, then when the storms of life come against us, it won't tear us down, because we're built on the rock. We're trusting, we're resting on the rock. But he says, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. So I'll liken him unto a man that built his house upon the sand. And when the storms came, that house fell down, and great was the fall of it, because it wasn't built upon the truth, the rock solid truth of the best way to live our lives. It was built upon those shifting things, those things that won't support the weight, those things that won't stand up against the winds, the storms of this life. Oh, how we need to hold on to the faith. Walk in ways that's pleasing to the Lord. We think about what Paul is saying here, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Let me get a couple more verses. I know I need to close this lesson. He says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. In other words, be faithful, right? Stay the course. Hold on to the truth. Keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so-called. There's so many things in this world today that are challenging the Word of God and saying that's just not fact, according to science. You know, evolution, the whole idea of this world, just there was this big explosion, and everything after that explosion just settled into this order that we have. Who ever heard of order coming out of an explosion? No, God designed this world. And the more men studied this creation, even the human body, I've been a student of learning what I can about how this body works for years, and I'm just continually amazed at the complexity God has built into these bodies. It's amazing. There's no way it just happened. But by faith, which God gives us in the new birth, we're able to see that and understand that and embrace that. And if you can embrace it tonight, you are one of his children. We may have a lot to learn, but we're still his child. And we'll always be his child. And sometimes we'll make mistakes, but we're still his child. And Jesus came into this world to save us from our sins. He suffered and died in our place. What we deserved, he took our place. And he died for us, that we might live with him forever. Brethren, that's my greatest motivation, to try to keep the faith. To say thank you, Lord, for what you've already done for me that had eternal consequences. And we can never be separated from him. Though we may walk astray, though we may turn aside, though we may turn loose, he doesn't turn loose of us. May God help us keep the faith. I know iniquity abounds and the love of many is waxing cold. But bless your hearts, let's stir up the gift within us Let's stay close to the Lord. Let's keep that fire stoked to be fervent in our faith and faithfulness to do that which is pleasing unto Him. Let's not err from the faith. Paul warns us over and over and over. If I had time, we could go into 2 Timothy. And he talks about some that would turn away from the truth. Oh, how we need to stay faithful to this word. Draw nigh to Him. He will draw nigh to you. There's just nowhere to quit in a subject like this, but we're going to have to. May God bless you is our prayer.